Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. We'll stand for the reading of the word. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read verse 3 through 14. It says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphroditus, and a dear fellow servant, who is for you and faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto you as declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, to all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." The verse I want to focus on is verse 12, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Lord, we love you today, and I pray right now, God, that you'll just speak through your servant, anoint your servant to speak your word, touch every heart and ear here today. God, help us, Lord, to live thankful in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you today, Thanksgiving ingredients. Thanksgiving ingredients. Well, it's certainly hard to fathom today, folks, that Thanksgiving is once again just a couple days away. Where does time go? Amen? James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." If you are in good health, you have a roof over your head, God has blessed you. Amen? If you get enough to eat each day, a part of a church family, have faithful friends, and a source of income, then God truly has blessed you. You see, because of God's great love, he provides for us. Just as he has provided for his people for thousands of years. But the problem with today's Thanksgiving, other than the worldly traditions we have placed on it, is that it's limited to an annual holiday. True Thanksgiving, folks, however, is defined, it is verified by a life of daily thanksgiving. So I want to take a close look at God's word, and I want to find out how to lead a life of thanksgiving. Excuse me. Thanksgiving is a very special time of the year. Traditionally, it is a time to give thanks for the harvest and express our gratitude in general. In the worldly perspective of Thanksgiving, however, it has turned it into a time of gathering with the family and eating a big meal and watching football or maybe going hunting or shopping. And maybe your family has their own unique tradition. But you decide to celebrate Thanksgiving, the fact remains that it is a time for us to count our blessings. And Scripture is very clear. It's clear to us that every blessing in our life is a result of God's provision to us. Amen? So I want to talk about the ingredients of Thanksgiving. Now, I'm certain that most of us have traditions, and most of us have traditional foods that make Thanksgiving Thanksgiving at our house. Amen? For your family. And for all of us, at least most of us, the turkey is traditional. Now, at our gathering, there is always turkey and ham. Usually two turkeys, two hams. But it would not be Thanksgiving for most without turkey. Amen? Many of us have specific recipes for the stuffing or the desserts that have become a family trademark. There are some people I don't want making our stuffing in my house, in my family. In fact, I pawned that off to my brother. You make the stuffing. My brother does. And you make the biscuits. Because some, I just don't care for certain biscuits. And I don't eat a lot of them, but when I want to eat one, I really want to eat one I enjoy. So certain trademarks, certain things. I have the job of doing the hams. That's my job. And usually it just comes in when the list goes out, it says Bill doing the hams. So that's how it is. You have certain people do certain things. And for most of us here today, there are components, there are ingredients to our family celebration that, if it's forgotten, would most certainly change the mood. If not remove some of all or of what Thanksgiving has meant to your family. And what I want each of us to consider today is that even as there are necessary ingredients essential to your family celebrations of Thanksgiving, and just as Brother Nick mentioned up here early, so also, folks, there are those things that are spiritually essential for Thanksgiving to truly be Thanksgiving. Amen? There are spiritually essential Thanksgiving things that we must have to be thankful. In Scripture, in the reading that we read earlier, Paul is expressing his thanksgiving for the companionship that the Christians of Colossae have afforded him. And the whole first chapter of Colossians is an expression of Paul's joy and thanksgiving. But verse 12 has contained within it three necessary ingredients to truly be Thanksgiving. And the instructions that Paul is giving to the church and to us today, those three essential ingredients are an appropriate attitude, the acknowledged agent, and the acceptance of abundance. So let's talk about those things. Let's talk about having the appropriate attitude. Attitudes are important, aren't they? Amen. It's Thanksgiving Day, and the aroma of roast turkey fills Charlie Brown's house. Old Snoopy's outside. He's laying on top of his doghouse, and he smells that aroma, and he's thinking, oh, it's Thanksgiving Day. Everybody eats turkey on Thanksgiving Day. So he lies there, watching the back door, eagerly awaiting his Thanksgiving dinner. And finally, the door opens, and here comes Charlie Brown with a bowl of dog food. And he puts it on the ground, and Snoopy gets off of his house, and he stares at the dog food with a forlorn look on his face, and he thinks, just because I'm a dog, I have to eat dog food on Thanksgiving Day. The next square shows him looking at the dog food more intently, and he is thinking, it could be worse. I could be the turkey. Now see, folks, in our imperfect lives, it is so easy to find something to complain about. Something that we wish we had, but do not have. Taking for granted the things the Lord has blessed us with. Some people are always envious of what others have. Saying things like, wow, it must be nice to have this or have that. See, you see, the proper attitude for Thanksgiving is cultivated by not looking at the blessings of others and comparing with our own, but by viewing our own blessings as sufficient in themselves. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's His will. That we be thankful. Amen? Everything means both good and bad, folks. In the good times, be thankful. In the bad times, be thankful. But not just the good times. In everything is not the same as for everything. Paul is encouraging us to have an attitude of gratitude concerning our entire life. Not just the times when things are going well. It sometimes takes time for us to realize benefits that we've received by enduring tough times. As Brother Nate was saying, and some of the young people saying, they're thankful for those times because those times make you appreciate the good times. Amen? Paul makes it perfectly clear that God's will for us is to be thankful people. The word thanksgiving is a compound word that which is at first glance has an obvious meaning. You see, we all understand the concept of thanksgiving and being appreciative for all our things. Amen? We understand that. But if you look at the words thanks and the word giving, there is a potential to glean an even deeper meaning. You see, folks, there's a noticeable difference between thanksgiving and thanksgiving. Amen? It's a difference, isn't there? One implies thankfulness for what we have received, while the other suggests thankfulness is a part of giving to others. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. The notion is that it is better to give than to receive. And even those on the receiving end of the gifts will enjoy them more if they are somehow able to give gifts also, even if that gift is of lesser value. Paul says, joyfully giving thanks. Joy is contentment in whatever circumstance you're in. You don't have to like your circumstance, but you can still have joy. I don't care how sad you are, you can still have that joy just knowing that, hey, God is with me. Amen? He said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And so joy is content in whatever circumstance. Joy and discontentment are essentially opposites. The proper attitude is cultivated not by looking at what we lack, but rather by an appropriate acknowledgement of what we do have. Young man was feeling very proud of himself as a brand new college graduate. He had taken the CPA exam and passed it with flying colors. Now he, as a full-fledged certified public accountant, his father had been an immigrant to the U.S. and now owned his own little business. Filled with self-importance, the young man began to criticize his father's way of keeping his books. He said, Dad, you don't even know how much profit you've made. Over here is this drawer. In this drawer are your account receivable. And over there is your receipts, and you keep all of your money in the cash register. You don't have any idea, Dad, how much money you've made. Your father answered, Son, when I came to this country, the only thing I owned was a pair of pants. Now your brother is a doctor, your sister is an art teacher, and you are a CPA. And your mother and I, we own our own home. We have a car, and we own this little business. Now add that all up, subtract the pants, and the rest is profit. That's what we need to do this Thanksgiving. Add up everything we have. Subtract what we began with and realize the rest is pure blessing. Amen? This is an essential ingredient, folks, to Thanksgiving. Having the appropriate attitude. This Thanksgiving, have the appropriate attitude. And don't let it only stop at Thanksgiving Day. Carry it through to next year. Amen? Carry it through. Then we have to have the acknowledge agent. giving credit where credit is due. Paul says, give thanks to the Father. Giving thanks to God, folks, is important. You see, the pilgrims acknowledged God. The pilgrims did not believe that their colonies advanced because they were stronger. They didn't believe that their colonies advanced because they were wiser or even more righteous than others. With the recognition of their imperfection and the recognition of their sins, and with faith and with much prayer, they sought and they acknowledged God and His kingdom. You see, the blessing which followed was all of God's doing. Looking back, Governor William Bradford of Plymouth could declare, "Of small beginnings, great things have been produced by His hand. And as one small candle, my light a thousand. So the light here kindled hath shone to many, yea, in some sort to our whole nation. Let the glorious name of Jehovah have all the praise." They acknowledged where their blessings come from. Amen. A little boy offered up a Thanksgiving Day prayer for his family and prayed, "Dear God, this is Jimmy. Thank you for Thanksgiving and Christmas and all the holidays. Thank you for the turkey and the dressing and mom and dad and even for my little sister, even though sometimes she can be a pain. Thank you for books and TV and Game Boy. Thank you for loving us. Oh, yeah, and take care of yourself, God, because without you, we're sunk. Amen." I can't think of a better understanding to possess than, "Thank you, God, because without you, we're sunk." Come on. We're sunk without Him. There's a familiar saying that says, "The self-made man has a fool for a creator." Paul says exactly that when he writes in Romans 1, professing to be wise, they became fools. Why? Because, see, folks, they refused to acknowledge God. And doesn't it seem foolish to you, folks, that someone would observe and participate in Thanksgiving when they acknowledge no one as the source of their blessing? Let me say that again. It seems foolish for somebody to observe and participate in Thanksgiving when they acknowledge no one as their source of their blessing. Now, I'm going to have you do an illustration here today. Everybody ready to get involved? Okay. I want to see everybody participate. Come on, who's going to participate? Just half of you? Come on, folks. Stop and think about the wonderful flexibility of your arms. Isn't that wonderful? The flexibility. They go up. They go down. They have full range of motion. Right here in front of you. Right? What's the one area of restriction in our arm movement? Our back. Now do something with me. Pat yourself on the stomach. Pat yourself on the head. Now pat your back. It's hard, isn't it? You can't really do it too much, can you? Now maybe, just maybe, that's why God made our arms that way. So we couldn't pat ourselves on the back. Huh? So we might understand dependence, that God is behind us, scratching our backs for us, patting us on the back when we need it. That's the second essential ingredient, folks, of being thankful, is acknowledging the agent, God. It's because of Him. It's because of Him. And then we have to have the acceptance of the abundance. The acceptance of the abundance. Never has the world had so much and yet so miserable. Think about it today. Never have we had so much and people are yet miserable. Depression, unhappiness, confusion, frustration, unfilled hopes and dreams, dissatisfaction, emptiness and hopeless misery. It describes humanity world over. The United States Constitution, folks, it guarantees people the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It doesn't give you happiness. It gives you the right to pursue happiness. Now, while those framers of the Constitution, while they understood they could guarantee the American citizenry certain civil liberties and freedom from oppression, we could guarantee that, they understood that they could not guarantee happiness. They could only seek to guarantee one's right to pursue it. And sometimes, folks, some people would rather wallow in their misery than do something about it and get out and make themselves happy. Maybe our pursuing happiness. Maybe some people are pursuing it today because we have so much. But you know what? So many people are pursuing happiness in the wrong places. We need to be careful where we're pursuing our happiness. I like to believe and try to live by Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. You better pursue your happiness in the right place. Because, like I said before, never have we had so much and yet so miserable. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Paul says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of God. Have you ever received one of those contest things like the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes? Think about it. You have already won. It says you're a winner when you get that thing, right? The inside, the small print says, if your number matches the winning drawing number. When you get the package, it says, you're a winner. Then you read the fine print, if your number matches the number drawn. Now, most of us here are certain we are not only really going to win. The odds are a zillion to one. But see, listen, folks, somebody always does win, don't they? What's the absolute certainty that you won't win? If you don't respond, you won't win. Right? That makes it certain. If you don't respond, you won't win. Right? If you don't enter, you won't win. I'm talking about acceptance, accepting things, folks. Now, we know it's a far-out chance that we will win. But if you don't accept it, if you don't enter, you will not win. Think about it today. Even with such poor odds, you could win if you enter. But you won't win if you don't enter. Now let me suggest that's what Paul was telling us. God has qualified us for the grand prize. And unlike the others, we are guaranteed winners. It says, whosoever will may come. Right? He sent us the acknowledgement that we've qualified. He sent his love and his blessings. And all we need to do is submit our acceptance. All we need to do is send back our reply, say, God, yes, I love you. That's all we got to do. I want to claim my prize. I want to obey your word and do whatever it takes. See, we do that with our thanksgiving, folks. Our acknowledgement that He is the agent of all good gifts around us. Think about it. All we got to do is say, God, I'll follow the rules. Because if you fill out that prize from the publishing clearance house, whatever it's called, Reader's Digest, you have to at least, if you're going to fill it out, you have to at least follow the rules. Right? You can't just write your name across in big letters, send it in. You got to give them your address, you know, all that stuff. God has things He's asking of us too. And He says, if you will obey me, He says, those that love me, you keep my commandments. But see, folks, so often is we feel that we listen to the enemy and he says, you're not worthy of his love. So why do this or why do that? We have to be accepting of what God has for us. It starts with being just being thankful. God, thank you for the blessings in my life. Thank you for the opportunity to even love you. Thank you, Lord God, that you care for me, that you sacrifice for me. See, folks, it's already there. It's been done at Calvary. We just have to be accepting of his love. We have to acknowledge that he is the agent of all good things around us. And by exhibiting those appropriate attitudes and being joyful at what God has done for us. Psalms 107 verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let's stand here today. Amen. His mercy endureth. Aren't you glad for that mercy? I don't deserve it. But I can accept it. How about you today? I don't deserve it. But God just helped me to accept it. Amen. I'm going to at least enter. I'm going to at least, you know, do what he asked me to do. That's the least I can do. The very least I can do. Amen. I just want to know, is there anybody here, if you come to this altar, if you're thankful today for all that God has done for you? Are you thankful today that you can even come to the house of God, even worship him? Are you thankful today that you live in the United States of America, where we can still come and worship our God? Amen. And all that God has done, he has blessed this country, folks. He's a good God. He's an awesome God. Amen. Let's just come and let's just thank him here today for all that he's done for us. Thank you, Jesus.